John chapter 1, man, the Apostle John, you know, we talked about him. He never calls himself John. He always calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think we find out by looking at a little bit of his, maybe his background, the few times that he spoke, we find that it's probably because he had a hard time believing it. You know, John was, you know, we always say, you know, we want to read the book of John for new believers because he had this love relationship. You go to the book of 1 John, there's a lot of knowing. There's a lot of the word love there. But yet when John speaks, he was always a harsh individual. He only spoke a few times. But he was just like ready to, you know, he's the one that said, like, you know, yeah, there's some people speaking in your name and we don't know them. Should we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? You know, I mean, this is John. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus Christ resurrects and there's something in this apostle that says, I can't believe he loves me. You know, such a harsh individual, you know, kids coming to get near Jesus and he's like, whoa, this is Jesus, you know, and Jesus is like, let the children come to me. Like, what's the problem? So when he calls himself, addresses himself, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I can't believe that he loves me. From being unlovable to now, my gosh, everybody wants to go to your book and hear your story because it inspires them. But then the second character he brings up, like he talks about in this book, is John the Baptist. We've been covering John the Baptist for a few weeks, and we've learned a lot of things about John the Baptist, who he is, the forerunner, who he could have been. If Israel were to receive John the Baptist, he would have been that Elijah prophesied. So we looked at John's, and basically one thing we've seen from John already is that, man, over and over again, it says in verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And it says in that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist came to be a witness. That's exactly what he was, to bear witness of the light. It says five times just here. He was either going to bear witness or bear record. So that's what he was doing. And today, I get the privilege to introduce you to the main character of the book of John. The main character of the book of John is found in verse 8. He says, you know, John the Baptist says, well, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. See, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, you know, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear God, we ask you today, just illuminate us, man. Open our eyes up to you. To you, Jesus. Please inspire this church where we've been inspired by John and John the Baptist, and now we get to really see the main character. And I pray that, Jesus, today you would intersect with our lives, and we would leave this place being different today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let me hammer verses 9 through 14, and then we're going to return back towards the end of this chapter and show you what happens when this light intersects with my darkness and what it does to me. So notice it says that he was the true light. So gang, we know the Bible. It's very consistent. If there's a true light, then there is a what? Darkness, or a false light. A false light that's out there. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6 would even speak of this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23 says, and if the light that be in thee be darkness. What? Like light is a darkness? Yes. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I mean, the best ploy that the enemy ever does in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 14, well, it talks about false prophets in verse 13. For such are false prophets, they're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There's fakers out there. There's false people. And everybody just thinks, oh, that's a church. Oh, is it a good one or a bad one? Because there's a difference. Is that a true church or is that a false church? Because they're out there. They're on every corner. He says these people transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, but they're not. They're liars. Look at verse 14. And no marvel. Why should we be shocked? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The greatest tactic of the enemy has always been transforming himself into light. But the problem is, it's false light. But people don't like to think that way. Just because it's a church or somebody holds a Bible and you talk to people about their faith and they'll say, oh, I go to church. Whip-de-doo. I've been baptized. So what? You know, well, I know Christ. Is it the right Christ? There's many Christs, the Bible said. What do you got a hold of? Does the Bible back it? Do you know the true light? Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. I had a girl tell me one time the craziest story I've ever heard in my life. I said, man, tell me, man, when did you become a Christian? Do you know the Lord? She goes, oh, yes, I was just a little girl. I barely remember it. I was in an old clawfoot bathtub, and through the bathroom window, in shone a light. And my mom came in and said, oh, my gosh, it's like a halo's around your head. And I knew that day that I was a Christian. Well, the problem with that story is it touches our heart. They might even print it in the Daily Bread. They might even put it in a little book or a little story. It might even draw a tear from other people. But you know what God thinks of your story? It's false. It's not accurate. Now listen, I'm not saying we don't deny people's experiences. That can be very dangerous. But we can deny that they're true, or we can deny if they're true or not. If somebody says that is their salvation, guess what? I checked it in the Bible. It's not in there. That's not how to get saved. That's not how to become a Christian. So guess what? You have a false concept of what it is to be a Christian. You got a hold of some false light. Yeah, but you don't know, it's the light. The light was shining. Yeah, but that lady used the Bible. Yeah, that's what Satan does. Everybody knows if Satan walked around her with a big syringe and walked up these aisles and said, put out your arm, put out your arm, there might be a handful of people in this room that would drop your arm. Most people would probably say, uh-uh. Most people would be afraid, unless you did it, and then you'd realize what the needle brings, right? Because it's funny, because it brings a high like nobody ever knows, man. It'll put you in a place. But also, it's funny because the Bible calls that, it's false. It's a false high, because you will come down. There's one high, the Bible says, that if you meet Jesus Christ, it'll immediately put you in heavenly places to never return from that spot again. Now, on planet Earth, you can diss it, you know, but the Bible says if you want to, but one day you'll realize the truth out of the Bible. So listen, and I'm not here to say and list all the bad churches, but if you ask me, I'll tell you what the bad churches are. I'm not lying, because I know what the Bible says. And and somebody would say, well, how could you do that? Well, it's not my opinion. I'm telling you, it's God's opinion. We're going to go to truth, and we're going to find out what's false. So our job is not to beat up every false church out there. Our job is to say, we want to be a truthful church, a church that's biblical. We want the true light, and we want it to shine. That's what we're saying, right? We don't have to tear down other churches, but if we have the true light, then we should build the biggest and the greatest and the church that multiplies the most, that takes it into the darkness, right? He said, this is the true light, man. But it says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. The Bible says that anybody that comes into this planet gets light. And that light gets rejected. I'm not even talking about the gospel. Take your Bibles and go over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says this. In Romans chapter 1, he says, in verse 18, he says, you know, for the wrath of God is revealed. What I should do is probably go up to verse 16. Go up to Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Clear as a bell. Salvation is found in who? Christ. Who? Salvation is found in who? Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. It clearly says that. Well, let me ask you a question here. Who is salvation found in? The gospel of who? Christ. Hey, if you don't know, I want to introduce you to him today. Because salvation alone is found in Jesus. If you're not clear to that coming out of your mouth, maybe you don't know Him. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. What Jesus did, the death, His burial, but then His resurrection. That's the gospel, the Bible says. It's Jesus Christ. That's why I went back to verse 16. Context. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of who? Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, right? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God's righteousness, what is right, righteousness is revealed by Jesus from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. You got salvation and wrath. Look at verse 19. Watch this. Here's why the wrath comes. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Well, John says that He lights every man that cometh into the world. And my friends, everybody has a conscience. Everybody is born with this. And I believe this is exactly what he's talking about. What can be known of God, it's manifest in them. It's funny how everybody, the crazy part about this is, everybody has a conscience. There's some sort of right or wrong embedded in human beings. The Bible proves this. In every culture of the world, it's there. Here's the problem with this. If you keep reading the book of Romans, you're going to find out, well, then if I was a good guy, if I was a good man, then I should get to heaven, right? No, because the Bible says if your conscience is put to the test, everybody defies and breaks and goes against their own conscience at some point. Everybody. Half-truth. Yeah. Liar, liar. Your pants are going to be on fire. It's true. The conscience. And then look what it says. 19. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. See, God. Well, now watch this. And then verse 20, he brings another thing into play. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God takes the invisible things, these spiritual things, but makes them to be seen through his creation, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because see, when they knew God, then they glorified him not as God and were not thankful. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Do you realize this? Everybody has been lit. Everybody's been lit up at some point. God says this. He's given everybody a conscience. And then on top of the conscience, he's given everybody creation. And creation points. The Creator designed creation to point to him. Isn't it crazy? Everything. I got a tree in my yard. I planted on a hill. And I probably should have staked the thing up because guess what? You know, the hill's like this. And I want the tree to grow like this, right? Here's the hill. Here's the tree. Guess what? When the sun comes out, it comes out over here. This tree has slowly been growing and developing. And so it comes up and we're like, yeah, we planted that thing like this. Now that it's like, you know, six times that size. Now my tree's lit. Why? It's growing towards the sun because that's how things grow, right? Nature, everything in nature, the threes that God put in place point to him. But the Bible had to make it clear, though, in Romans 1, before we get to these verses of verse 20, we get to 19, we already read verse 16. He says there's salvation found in only one, and it's the gospel of Christ. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that saves. Outside of that, you get the wrath of God. You are not righteous without the righteous one inside of you. God's right is Jesus. Do you want to be right? You better know Jesus. Yeah, but I got a pretty good conscience. I've been a good girl. The problem is that thinking's false. It's not true. Yeah, but no, seriously, I pray. People say this stuff all the time. Like, I get up every morning, I go out, and the first thing I do is name a couple things I'm thankful for as I'm drinking my coffee. Lottie. The Bible says you need to know Christ to be saved. Don't buy that and think you're just a good boy. There's no such thing as a good boy. They're all born bad. Isn't it true? I don't like to think it's true, but God's word has changed my mind because he's right and I'm wrong. The Bible says that, doesn't it? Let God be true and every man a liar. Wow. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So every man gets a piece and a part. This is what's beautiful about this. But men, you know, men reject it. That's why they're held accountable for it. They reject their own conscience. And think of your history. You can come up with 187 times that you defied your own conscience. Even as a boy, I remember things being wrong. My dad told me, do not throw rocks in the driveway. Because you know why? My next door neighbor had a classic old Volkswagen that he fixed up and put over. It's a funky color green. We shared a gravel driveway and I was out there just playing around. He said, son, do not throw rocks. You're going to hit the car. My dad walked away and there was something inside me saying, throw the rock. And I threw a rock on the hood of that dude's car. Why? And you know, my parents say, why did you do that? I was so young I couldn't even give him a clean answer. Why did you do that? You ever get in trouble and your mom shakes you? You're like, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? What are you naked for outside? You shouldn't be out here. What's wrong with you? I couldn't give an answer until I got a little bit older. Because the Bible told me in Jeremiah 17:17 that the heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And that's every mom wants to say, oh, he has a good heart. Who'd you hear that from? Your boy doesn't have a good heart. It's actually dark. But I'm speaking from truth. That's what the Bible says. Don't buy into that. That's what we do. We take our little kids when they're little and we're like, oh, mommy, sweet little princess. Well, I know you love her with all your heart and you brought her into the world. But the Bible says that her spirit is dead. The Bible says she needs a reviving. There's a conscience inside of her and she'll lie to you. She'll manipulate and do whatever she can to get exactly what she wants. She's going to have to come to the realization one day that salvation is only found in Jesus. He's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Anything outside, listen to this. This is going to be hard to hear. Anything for salvation and eternal life outside of Jesus Christ, anything is false. And I don't care if you say, yeah, but that's closer to the truth. I at least think those group of people are after the same God we are. Well, the Bible says if you seek God with all of your heart, you'll find him. And I'm not saying they're not on a journey. Don't think I'm saying those people are not spiritual. I'm just saying they're false. Well, that's your opinion. No, that is God's opinion. Show me differently. Show me differently and I'll believe it. This is what God's word says. This is what makes our church so dangerous and powerful. Right? We're not like a group of gangsters. We're not like a group of mobsters that are going to take over the largest cities in the United States and run the country. Because that's what they do. All for evil, right? They go through, manipulate, and they put people everywhere in high places. And they violently take place. They violently control the voting booths even to get right people in office. They kill the right people to manipulate to get to where they want to be. No, it's like that, but for good. That's the other side of the coin. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, the pillar and ground of truth. We live in a perverse nation. The Bible calls it darkness. And you and me walk around with true light. You are the most dangerous people on the planet. You are the most unstoppable force in the universe. If you shine the light. It says, man, he was in the world. And the world was made by him. Yet, not only are we talking about he's given conscience in creation, now we find out that he created it all. I know we like to think of Jesus Christ being born in a manger. You know, you like to think Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. But what you don't realize is he was there at the very beginning. The Bible says he was the creator. See, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're one. Jesus Christ is the physical manifestation of God, but he's always been. You find him as the angel of the Lord popping up in the Old Testament. You find him several times even physically showing up. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were made by him. The Creator. That's why when you're reading in Genesis, don't read too quickly, because you'll read something that'll just say, yeah, and God said, hey, let us make man in our image. It becomes plural. Yeah. Jesus was there. He's the creator. So he was not only in the world, but the world was made by him. That's why John constantly, as he's talking in here, John will always say something like, yeah, he that's coming after me is preferred before me. And then he says, because he was here before me. Hey, he's preferred before me because he was already here. John clearly says that. The verse he says that in is verse 30 in chapter 1. John, this is, after he cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me. Yes, he was. He was here. He's the creator. And it says, and the world knew him not. You know why? Because we're all born in sin. And we got conscience. God gave us a conscience in creation. Both of those things are to point us his direction. That's why some of the best ways to lead people to Christ, if you can take them down to their conscience level. Because a lot of people think, I'm a pretty good guy. Really? Oh, okay. I did drugs a couple times, but besides those two times, I'm a great guy. Well, besides that girlfriend that I cheated on, that's another deal. That's a whole other deal. Oh, besides that time I called in and told the boss something that just wasn't true when I didn't show up for work. Besides those things, like, hey, dude, I hope you haven't killed anybody, because that's like the only thing not on the list. You know? Everything else I've done wrong, but I really haven't murdered anybody. Then Jesus comes along, breaks all of it, and says, you know, if you hate somebody in your heart, that is the very seed of murder, and I judge the heart. If you've looked at a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery already, pal. It's already inside of you. That's why what defiles a man is not just because he killed somebody. What defiles a man is a dark heart on the inside, a conscience that's been violated. And that's everybody. So when we talk, we all just like, it's not like I'm doing this and preaching at you. No, it's like all of us. Everybody. The world knew him not. You know why? You're born wrong. Born in sin. You know what John 3 says? Then you lived wrong. And then John 8 says, because of that, you will die wrong. You will die in your sins. And you'll be in darkness the rest of your eternal life. It says the world knew him not. They had a chance, but they knew him not. Check out what it says next here. I like what it says in verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Jesus revealed himself to his own. Now, you know, we're talking to his own, Jesus and the nation of Israel, the whole Old Testament, right? It says he came into his own, but they didn't receive him. The very oracles of God were given to these people, the Bible. It says that in Romans 3, 2. And they rejected him. Guys, it's the principle of like human nature. You know, we always read sad stories to just be like, oh, pregnant Mary, gonna bring baby Jesus into the world and there was no room in the inn. That's the story of human nature. There's no room for him. Nobody makes room for him. Nobody. The world, it says here, they knew him not. He even came into his own, and guess what? They said, no room here. After all I've done for you? The whole history of the nation of Israel? No room? Yeah. If you read John chapter 9, he clearly tells people, because you know, people that think they see, they're really blind. It's the people that are blind that actually can really see. Right? It's like opposite of what we think. It's those how Jesus does it all through Scripture. I really, really like it. So, light rejected. A scientific term for that could be lightning. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. God's wrath is coming. And you reject true light. And people do that all the time. Don't we do it. We like to think of ourselves better than we are, our children better than they are, our family members, you know. And there'll be a guy up at the Warren County Jail, I'm like, oh, this is his fifth time in there. It's pretty bad when you walk in, and, man, you know God, his middle name. You know what they call him out in the street. You know his first name. You know all of his family. You've heard all of his stories because he's been in there so much. He's older than me. And I go, and then you're able to call the guy by name and walk in. Isn't that something? I can call you by name. My gosh. Lightning, man. You've rejected the light. Lightning. I love verse 12 because it says, but. as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. It makes it pretty clear here, like Romans chapter 1. You've got to recognize true light and realize that you and me are in darkness. And you have to receive that light. And when you receive Jesus Christ, a powerful thing happens. Your dead spirit becomes illuminated. And all of a sudden you become a child of God. Yeah, but we're all children of God, ain't we? We are the world. We are the children. We are the... Great song. I love it. It's just false. The only gang or family you're a part of is the human race. And the Bible says it's a race that cannot be won. You're in a race that you'll never cross the finish line. You'll never accomplish what you think. Because the Bible says God's given you a conscience. You've messed that up. He's given you creation to point to him. You keep rejecting that. Salvation is something that is received. It's a work that Jesus has done. And some people like to make us think that like it's a work that we do. But that's actually not true for salvation. Now, once you receive that, you know what happens? As you begin to grow, yes, the byproduct of that, you begin to live like Jesus. You begin to be like John the Baptist. You want everybody to know him. When your life gets totally transformed, you know, it's kind of like somebody eating a pill. You know, everybody eats this, you eat this pill, and you're like, man, I've been eating this pill every day. I've lost 600 pounds. Now, you can't tell me, dude, you were 800 pounds. No, I'm serious, man. Here, I'll show you some pictures. And people show you the pictures and like, man, what's she doing? And then all of a sudden the pill gets out there, right? You know, you get those ads just like I do on Facebook. You know why you get those ads, don't you? That means you've been looking for stuff and watching videos on how to lose weight, how to get healthy. And then you get a hold of a guy like some crazy guy like Goggins, and he'll just tell you, what do you mean there ain't no drug for you? You're fat and you're lazy. Quit eating so much, get out and work. You know, he says things that are common sense. And sometimes that's attractive. We're like, yeah. But I can't do that. You got a pill out there that I can take? I had a guy convince me that apple cider vinegar would make me healthy and make me skinny and all that type of stuff. I'll tell you what it did. It gave me bad breath. That's what it did. There's no secret sauce there. But you know, salvation, it's only found in Jesus. Notice here it says, you either receive it not or you receive it. That's what the Bible says. As many as received him. You know what Jesus Christ told Israel? Write this down if you just want to go look it up later. In John 5:40, he says, man, I tried to gather you, just wouldn't come to me. Matthew 23:37, I tried to gather you like chicks. You wouldn't come. You rejected it. Like I did my effort. But you didn't receive it. Do you guys remember that story in Genesis 24 where Abraham was trying to find a bride for his son? Do you guys remember that? Eleazar goes out there. We used it in the parenting series to talk about dating when our kids date. So they go out and do you remember what Rebecca did at the... I like the spot where she's with her family. They receive it. And here's Eleazar the servant. He's like, okay, the bottom line is... And he says this in Genesis 24:48. And the brothers are like, yeah, God's in this. God put all these pieces together, but it all came down to this. Will you go? And Rebecca goes, I will go. She received the invitation and went and found herself in a marriage, and it blessed her life forever. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. He did all the work. You know what you need to do now is receive him. Because up to this point, don't fool yourself. You've been rejecting him. That's what the Bible says. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. He becomes our father. See, up until this point, in Genesis chapter 5, your daddy was like Adam. Or John 8 just says, well, let's get real about it. Your daddy's the devil. What? People always flip out when you tell them, the devil. Yeah, either God's your father or the devil's your father. I don't believe it. Yeah, the Bible's just that simple. You know, it's like heaven, hell. Simple, isn't it? It's like, man, I got all these decisions to make. You don't have many decisions to make. You really don't. But God wants to be your father. He's given his son for you, Jesus Christ. And that's why you get to a book of Ephesians chapter 2 and it just says, yep, you find children of wrath. children of disobedience. Yeah, but God wants to be your Father. Well, you know what Romans 1 says? Romans 1 says, but the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Death, burial, resurrection. Salvation is found in Jesus, isn't it? It's found in Christ and Christ alone, isn't it? That's what the Bible says, not me. That's what the Bible says. We looked at it clearly in Romans 1:16. And so here, basically, we find that salvation is in a person. And that person's name is what? It's Christ. It's Jesus. Salvation is not in good works. It's not in some wafer. It's not taking communion. It's not becoming a member of this church. It's not getting baptized. Salvation's not religion. Salvation is simply Jesus. End of story. Hey, do you know him today? We've been talking a lot about John and John the Baptist. Have you ever met the main character of the story? What happens is you live life and somebody has convinced you, probably a jacked up mom, has convinced you that you're the main character because you've ran your home. And then you get out and you go to school and you get mad at school because, I can't believe you gave me a C. You have a teacher that looks at you and said, son, that's what you've earned. What are you saying to me? Then you go home and tell your mom that, you know, that teacher said I was average. He gave me a C. And then your mom goes to the school and be like, I can't, my son's worked hard on this. He's done. And then parents start fighting. Before you know it, you're in a counselor's office doing what? Trying to convince everybody that you're the main character. Now, a good school and a good teacher and a good system would tell you, you lose. Stop thinking you're the main character. You're like the guy in the Warren County Jail that we knew. That dude put his hands up on these bars. He was huge, man. This dude's like huge, 6'4", shredded, man. Tats everywhere. Like he looked incredible. And he goes, I own this place. I'm the king of this place. And the guards know it too. I was like, you know what's funny about that? Like you're the king of a sloppy, nasty, small town jail. That's how demented you are. Your mommy, your daddy, and your grandma convinced you you're the main character. You're a prisoner, my friend. You're a sinner. The main character wants to save you, wants to save your life. Notice it says, as many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. You believe that Jesus Christ was the penalty. And then Romans says later, you believe that in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Because a lot of us, when you get in trouble, you mess up. Life, you know, life has given you lemons. And you do your darndest to make lemonade. You know, if life has given you lemons and you have no sugar, you got nasty sauce, man. That's bitter. Why do people say that? Man, when life gives you lemons, what do? I'm going to make lemonade. No, you're going to make something that your dang dog, your dog will eat a dead fish and he ain't going to eat a lemon. Because he's smarter than that. When life gives you lemons, what do? You better realize that with everything and all of your ability, you can't do anything. And we do this all the time. Man, I've made some mistakes, and I'm not going to raise my kids like I've been raised. I feel bad, man. I'm never going to do that to them again. Who's hosed their kids over? Everybody has, don't you? Then you're like, man, I'm never going to do that again. Next week, what do? Man, I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm never going to yell at you like that again. I'll never blow the roof of the house off and punch a hole in the door. And next week, what do? You know why? That's who you are. The Bible makes this clear. We just have a hard time accepting it. Like you're going to be saved or you're going to be born. And I'm doing, you know what? Hey, how you doing? Man, I've been doing a lot better. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as better. Now, you could say, man, I'm not as drunk as I used to be. You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying. Man, I haven't been drinking as much. I haven't been partying enough. I've been home a lot more. Hey, good for you. Good for your kids. That's just short-lived. That ain't salvation. Salvation is only found in Christ. The only way to be saved is to believe on his name, which we're born of God. It says here, you must be born again. John 3:3 says it, clears of death. 1 Peter 1:23, we're born of an incorruptible seed. Your dad was a rotten man. He slept with a rotten woman and produced a rotten kid. I don't like that story very well. You don't have to like it, but it's true. That's the story for all of us. You just need to make today's chapter different. Today's chapter, as you turn the page, you'll be like, but God demonstrated His love toward us, and that we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took this rotten and He made residence right in here. And I'm saved. You can't go around bragging to everybody, man, I saved myself. I just went to a program and got clean. That's it. Look at me now. And everybody's like, yeah, dude, you're moving your head around like you're special needs. Yeah, we all are. You're born of God. You know what's crazy about this? Check this out. Now that we got the main character, and you got to realize you got to receive Jesus Christ to become a Christian. It's that simple. None of us are good enough to be saved. So you see this story. What's crazy about it is people have defied their conscience. Creation's not pointing them in the right direction. They're not looking right. You know, no man's good, no, not one. All this is taking place in the book of John. And then, but what we need to do is put two and two together. This is why it's so fantastic when John the Baptist blows on the scene. Because everything he does, mankind is so tore up and rotten. Israel is so messy, religious, that they have not received what God has told them to receive. They're messed up, absolutely messed up. So it took a wild man coming out of the wilderness saying, you need to receive Jesus. Like, it's so rotten that on their own, people can't get saved. You need to be told. That's the gospel message. That's the goal of the church, is to shine this light. Do you see it? Do you see it? I'll show you a few things. It says, you know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I love all that. Full of grace and truth. Don't you like that? Don't you like how He comes along and says, here's grace and truth? Because the truth is true, true. What's true? True light. It's Jesus. It's true. It's true. It's true light. This is it right here. He says, and Jesus Christ came. When the Word became flesh, He came, He said, with grace and truth. I like how He said grace first. What is grace? Grace is for a guy like me that tries his hardest. It's not enough. When, like, I used to coach little kids when my girls played sports. I'd coach them, and sometimes you'd call a timeout, and you'd be like, okay, Elizabeth. Okay, Janie, I'm going to put you in now. And every parent in the stands is going, do not put her in. Like, we're trying to win this game. Don't put her in. Sometimes she knows, sometimes she don't. You know, because a lot of little kids, you ask them if they're beautiful, they just say yes. You know, my mom taught Sunday school, and I remember my brother, being the drug addict he was, we're down there helping her. There's all these little girls and boys, and my mom's trying to teach a Sunday school class. My brother, out of the blue, just goes, hey, who's the prettiest girl in here? Every girl went, like all of them. I'm like, oh my gosh. My brother's like, nope, there can only be one of you. My brother's stirring trouble, you know. My mom's like, shut your mouth. You know, what are you doing here? I'm like, Mom, I think this is going somewhere really good. You got to come to a conclusion that yet I know you're a first grader, but you're 30 pounds overweight and your hair hasn't been combed in 2 days. You're not a princess. And she goes, yes, I am, because look at the ring I'm wearing. Oh, somebody gave you a plastic ring. It's got a Disney princess on it, and you're convinced that's you. That's false. You need some light. Shine some light on the subject and put a mirror in front of her and just say, it's ugly, isn't it? Sure is. Full of grace and truth. Grace. Grace is because as human beings, my gosh, guys, we're failures. You know, we fail. Like, we defy our own conscience. But then He brings truth and says, let me give you the truth. Grace and truth. I love these two words used only in that phrase like twice in the Bible. But I love how the Lord does this for you and me. Because, guys, the truth is that book. And the hardest part about this is right, that's truth. Who keeps the Bible perfectly? Who in here keeps that Bible perfectly? Like you looked at the law. The law did what? The law was a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. The law was put in place because if you mess up the law in one point, it's like, okay, it's 65 miles an hour. It's 65 on this highway. And I make sure I never do over 68. Well, you're over. Yeah, but I don't drive 90. Like, I pass cops all the time and they never pull me over. I don't care if he does pull you over. You're a speeder. You're a liar. You're breaking the law. I'm not saying you're going to get caught or pulled over or get the ticket. The whole point is, though, you got to just realize that, yep. See, if you mess up in one point, you're guilty of all. That's what the law did. The Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to point us to grace and truth. Jesus Christ. Guys, I want you to know something. This is grace. The Bible says sinners go to hell. You'll spend an eternity. You will get the wrath of God because of your rejection of your conscience, the rejection of the creation, the people. You will. You have rejected. Or you can receive Christ. You receive Christ, you're in. Now the grace and truth, it really applies. That's why he says at the end here, before he says, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. We beheld it. We seen, and our eyes were opened. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And without Jesus Christ, I am completely and 100% lost. I'm just a little lost. Hey, lost is lost. Well, we only lost by 2 points. You're a loser. Deal with it. It's not like the Olympics where the U.S. team came out and blew them out by 27 points. It's not like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're like in the swimming competition. They touched the wall like one fingernail before you did. You're second place. That's called a loser in the Olympic books. You're a loser. Yeah, but I was close. Guys, it don't matter. It's Jesus or it's nothing. We're in John chapter 1, and he says, and here's John the Baptist. I want to put some emphasis on this guy because he's bearing witness of the light. It's a beautiful story. He's awesome. The greatest prophet born among women. But he don't hold a candle to the true light. John's just pointing to the light. John's not the light. He's just pointing to the light. What we need today is the light. We need Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? That's the real question. Have you ever met him before? I know, dude, you don't realize, man, I've been doing really good lately. Like I'm seeing my kids like I should, you know, paying my child support, paying my bills. Hey, man, you wouldn't believe the stuff that comes out of people's mouths, especially up at the county. You know what they all say? They all got some issues. They're like, man, I just need to get out of here and get a job, man. If I just had a job, if you just had a job, you'd buy more dope. That's what you do with your job. What are you talking about? A job is not your... When I get out of here, man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit hanging around these guys over here. They got me in trouble, man. I'm going to quit hanging around these guys. These guys, I got to come out. I'll be there at your church, and I'm going to quit hanging around these guys. We have proven over several years of going now, they all lie. They never show up. They believed in their heart they were going to change. Some of them came out and even rejected these two knucklehead friends they had. But then when they started their new job, guess who they found there? Two more knuckleheads to replace them. You know why? Because knuckleheads draw knuckleheads. Sinners draw sinners. Drug addicts draw drug addicts. Whores, all their friends seem to be whores too. Isn't that crazy how it works? And Christians, we bear witness to the light and we draw other Christians. We want to see other people come to the light. There's only one truth I offer you today. The Bible says this book is truth. It says this is truth. It don't have truth in it. No, this is the standard of truth. And today there's true light. That true light is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, don't fool yourself. You're living in darkness. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but I'm doing better than I was last week. Well, good for you. I'm not saying you're like doing terrible. I'm really not saying. Some of you have more money than I got. Some of your morality is real good right now. You could blow us away with your morality. You know, if morality was the ultimate judge, you'd be in good shape. That's just a false judge. The truth is, you're going to receive Jesus Christ or you're not going to receive Jesus Christ. Today, there's a rejection or there's going to be a reception. You're going to receive Him or you're going to reject Him. I'm not talking empty religion. I'm talking about God that loves you so much, that knows you're so frail, that He sent His only Son. Jesus Christ put flesh on, the Bible says. He humbled Himself and became like a man. And He took the sins of the world and He died. And He was buried and then He resurrected and came back to life. And the truth is, it was for you. It was all for you. He's the main character in the story. You need to know the main character. You know, if you don't know the main character, you do realize, even if you're in English class and you're going to take a test on the book this afternoon, you can't get the main character right, I'm pretty sure you're going to fail. You're going to fail that test, man. You don't even know who the main character of the story is. The main character wants you to know Him. And He's doing everything He can to reveal Himself to you. I wanted to get to the end of this chapter today just to show that, because that's exactly what He does. He makes Himself known. He would see them, require a response from them, and then if they would say, yes, we see, He's like, and if you believe, it'll change your life. Then all of a sudden, guess what? Their eyes get illuminated. They get open. They find it. So today's message is this. The true light. Have you ever met Jesus Christ? It's a one-time deal, one and done. Immersed completely, wholeheartedly, do you know Him? It's a spiritual relationship. He'll come in and revive your spirit. It's that simple. A lot of us have experienced it. It's hard to explain, but John starts doing a pretty good job of it. So how about this? Hey, listen, I'm not asking you today if you're upset. I'm not asking if you're hurt. I'm not asking if you got needs in your life. That would cover all of us. I'm asking you today, are you saved? Your sin is going to lead you to death, and your death will lead you to hell. Do you know Jesus Christ? That's what I'm asking today. Simply, have you ever received and met Jesus Christ? And that's done by faith. It's a prayer by faith. You ain't going to see Him today, except here. He'll illuminate your spiritual eyes. And you meet Him. It's simply entering into a relationship. Rebecca, will you go? She says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to receive Christ today. Let's all bow our heads right now and close this message out. So listen, gang, no empty religion. I don't care what you think. Hey, don't care what I think. How's that for you? My opinion ain't no better than yours, but I'm trying to give you the opinion that we find in this book. And in John chapter 1, He says, you know what? There's a true light. But you know, if the light that be in you be darkness, ooh. Have you bought into something that was false? Man, religion, man. It's, you know, religion is worse than heroin. Heroin can, you know, it'll get you high for a bit, but it'll eventually end your physical life. Religion will mess up your eternity. My question for you today is, have you ever met Christ? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice today that's heard the preaching and proclamation of God's word? It's been proclaimed. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand and just say, you know what? I don't think I've ever done this before. I've never met Jesus. And I need to. I think that's why God brought me here today. And I believe that. If you've never met Jesus Christ, I'd like to introduce you to Him. Raise your hand if that's you. Just raise your hand. Simply raise your hand. I need Christ. I don't think I've ever, no, I've never done that. I've never been saved. I've been good at times. Well, I thought I was. Is anybody in that boat? You're like, you know, I'm not sure. Like right now, if you know, you got the heartbeat going real heavy on you. You're like, you know what? Let somebody take God's word and show you these verses. And you can say, okay, yeah, I've done that or I haven't done that. It's simply that. So today, sitting in your seat, you're either going to walk away saying, I reject that. I am not going to receive that. Or you're a person that's sitting there saying, I remember the day when I received that. Or you're the person going to say, and I will receive that right now. Anybody? Raise your hand. Put it up. Okay, church. It sounds like everybody in here knows what true light is. But we live in a world, they're clueless. They're clueless. Can we not go into darkness this week and shine the light? Why is the church not packed? It's not for bonus points. We don't get bonus points for bringing people to church. No, we just want to expose them and bear witness to a light that they need for the eternity, right? They need Jesus. Jesus, thank you for the book of John. I'm thankful for the verses today. And Lord, we recognize you today as, Lord, you're the creator of it all. You know us better than we know ourselves. You are the true light. Lord, we've all been lit up. And Lord, I know all of us have rejected it. And some of us have come to terms that we need you. I'm thankful for the men and women in this room that have received you. And God, I pray now we become like we become what Lucifer used to be. He was a light bearer, man, that we would bear witness, that we would tell people, that we would bear record that it's true. We've got true light. Jesus, I want to thank you for saving us, man. Thank you for doing all of the work. And we stand today guilty. But you have taken our sentence, Lord. You have taken our guilt and you've saved us. And we just want to praise your holy name and lift you up on high. Thank you for the book of John. Thank you for the inspiration today, Lord. Amen. Amen.